Broadcasting around the world, this is Reaching Forth Radio, a weekly show produced to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm Dan Brenneman, along with Dan Klaus, and we're coming to you from our New York City studio. I trust that today's show will encourage you as you follow Christ and to walk with God. It's our desire to put something edifying in your routine as you commute, go throughout your week, whatever you do, recover from your appendectomy, or, I don't know, as you play with your little sister, or as you make dinner. I don't know, what do you do? Let us know. Email us, tell us. I don't know. But whatever you're doing, at the same time, you can listen to Reaching Forth Radio and be encouraged and be helped as you help others or as you relax. I don't know. What do you do, Dan, when you listen to Reaching Forth Radio?
Yeah. That's a good question.
You're usually working and critiquing and editing and things like that.
Yeah, usually I'm splicing it up.
Yeah.
Is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I listen when I'm driving sometimes.
Yeah.
I want to, you know, listen to it again.
That's usually what I listen to is when I'm,
yeah,
when I'm driving.
Driving somewhere. That's the best time to listen to it.
Yeah.
I know some friends that listen to it while they're working out. That's a good time too.
Yeah, that's true. You can, while you're driving, you can be encouraged not to, you know, think the things you think about other drivers or react.
Road rage, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good road rage deterrent.
In fact, you right now, we see you. You're about to honk the horn at that person. Stop. Calm down.
You got to check and see if listening to Reaching Forth Radio can bring your insurance policy down to, you know, say that helps.
In fact, we should do a whole show of Reaching Forth Radio in golf announcer voices just to help people relax a little bit.
You were thinking of the Geico commercial in that? Is that yeah.
Just relaxing, you know, and just bring it down and just you keep driving smoothly. I don't even know how to. They do the whisper. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
They do the whisper.
Dan is opening his Bible right now, and he's contemplating what he's going to be speaking.
Don't you feel so relaxed right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably have to turn the volume. What do they just say?
Like, give me the coffee.
Then all of a sudden, hey, they're too loud. Okay. Well, today's show, we're going to be discussing what is revival, and that's going to be our question segment. And we're also going to be giving you the second half of the interview with missionary Stephen Raines. And Dan's going to be giving you the challenge from the Word of God. So, got some good things. And something new for the opening segment of our show, we're going to be playing a little game show.
Yeah, before we get to that, you said appendectomy?
Appendectomy.
Help me out. What is
that? That's where you have your appendix removed.
Oh, okay. So, it's just a fancy way of saying having your appendix removed.
Well, that's the way to say it.
I tell you what, if you are listening while that is happening, yeah, let us know for sure because that would be a first.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And if you are Kenny and you are having your appendix taken out on the Great Wall of China while listening to the show,
I did
then
see,
really.
I did see Kenny a week or so ago.
Oh, he's back?
He did make it back.
Oh.
He was talking about some crazy things that are happening over there. But, you know, unfortunately, he said to me, I'll pass on the info, we'll maybe follow up with him, but he's saying that he didn't get to do as many things as he planned on doing because he was there to see his sister who's, I don't know, doing school or work or something over there. And she was just so busy, she couldn't go out with him to all the things he, so he didn't get to the Great Wall of China.
Oh,
so
man.
It was disappointing. Yeah.
Sorry, you were about to talk about a fifth grader or something?
Well, not just anyone. Actually, since school is just starting back, I thought it would be good for you and I, Dan, to test our school knowledge by comparing our intelligence with that of a fifth grader. So I got a new app here. I'm just trying it out for the first time. It's the Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader app. And I think we got about five or six questions here. We can go back and forth and take turns. So I'm going to put you on the spot first.
All right, let's do it.
It's got random categories. I'm going to push stop, and it picks out one. We got, it looks like health. Question here.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to play this. What body system controls muscles with electrical signals? Is it nervous, respiratory, digestive, or endocrine?
Oh, the nervous system.
Nervous system, he says. That is correct.
Woohoo!
All right. So, now what about the appendix? What system, what part of the body system is that?
Would you know? Give me the list again.
Well, no, it's not on here. I think about that. Would that be...
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Anyway, okay, this is going to be my turn. I'm going to stop a category, and I get an exam. I have an exam. Choose your subject: reading, spelling, earth science, health, ancient history. I'm going to pick spelling.
Wait, I'm supposed to be
what is the letter in the
you?
Middle of the alphabet? Elemental P. L. Oh no, that was right next to M. M was the correct
one. I missed it.
Mm.
I was trying to beat the timer. I don't know why. Okay. Okay, I got to set up another. All right, Dan, your turn. I'm going to stop it on a category here. Oh, actually, it's going to let you pick. No, it's not.
Thanks.
Okay, I'm just trying to help the first
You'd
time.
You'd make a horrible teacher.
All right, here we go. Stop making it terrible. Oh, it's health again. Health. Okay, we're going to play
Water.
This question.
That's
what type of food is taffy? Sweet, protein, vegetable, or grain?
Ooh, sweet.
Sweet, that's right. That's not fair.
That's
I got the
tough
exam.
One.
All right, I'm going to. It's my turn.
Wait.
Okay, it's. You have two, I have zero. Okay.
Yeah.
I got the exam again. Art, grammar. I'm going to do grammar. What part of speech is rustic, meaning characteristic of dwelling in the country? It'd be an adjective. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It says I'm starting. That was a second grade question? Okay. All right. I was smarter than
you're giving me fifth grade questions. You're taking second grade questions.
We have proven that we're smarter than a first grader. We haven't got to fifth grade yet.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Here's stop it for Dan here. This is 2-1. You're winning. Here's your next question. The category is social studies.
Oh, boy.
Okay. And here's your question.
Okay.
What do we get to get? Excuse me. What do we do to get a bill made into a law? Vote for it, debate it, write it down, or change it?
What do we get to make a bill into a law?
What do we do to get a bill made into a law? Vote for it, debate, write, or change?
I would.
Time out.
Oh,
you timed you out. Sorry. I didn't tell you. Well, I'm sorry. I got an exam. You got a timer.
You would. Well, they would vote into a law. They'd write it first.
I would agree with you.
Write it, and then they would vote for it.
What do you
right?
mean? What do we do to get a bill made into a law? We have to vote.
Not to make the bill. You'd write the bill and then vote the bill into law.
Right. So even if
gotcha.
Yeah, second grade.
Okay, we'll give that a.
So,
although I didn't know I was being timed. Thanks.
Well, you know, you should know that. this is my question.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. The category is life science. Life science. All right, here's the question. What is the term for earthworms and other organisms that feed on decaying organic matter? Dendrophile, scavengers, microphage, or saprophages? Oh, feed on decaying matter. I'm going to say a microphage. No, it was a saprophage. Why do I get the hard ones? My goodness.
Well, what's the score now?
2-1, you're winning.
2-1 still.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so... What we got? One more question each?
Sorry, let's go one more. More each.
Let's see if we can tie this up at least.
Or dominate.
You
just
can
total
dominate.
Domination.
Okay, this is the question for the total dominance here.
Oh, great.
In fact, maybe we should switch. Maybe I should go for the tie and then you get to bat last.
Sure.
Okay, I'll do the next question.
Yeah, you saw it was an easy one. So.
Yeah, sure. Health again. It's what you would have got a health question again. Which of the following foods contain empty calories? Bread, fries, cucumbers, or soft drinks?
Oh, come on.
Bread. Soft drinks? Yes, I got it. Okay, it's tied up. Now watch you get the exam this
contain
time.
Contain empty calories.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what that really means.
You're the medical guy. You should know.
But I'm not a dietitian.
Well, you're a transcriptionist.
Right. So I can just spell the words for
don't
you.
Don't tell anyone what that means because it just sounds very fancy.
Well, I'm actually a medical language specialist, MLS, technically. Anyway.
Wow.
Whatever that means. Okay.
Means you're smarter than a fifth grader.
Well, I did get my grammar question right.
There you go.
Okay, here is your next question for
the
win.
Mm.
Okay. It's the... I thought it said weird. Spelling. It was misspelling weird.
Man.
Spelling is the category.
Oh, I hate spelling.
Okay, here we go. Which of these words can be added to pan to make a compound word? Cake, black, shaped, or hot?
Cake.
Cake pan? Sounds right to me. Okay, man, you won it.
Woo-hoo!
You win... All right, Dan. Dan Klaus wins the Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Oh, yeah.
3-2. That was 5 questions.
Makes me feel really smart.
Yeah.
That we got any questions wrong is just kind of embarrassing.
Well, okay. I'm not too embarrassed about missing saprophages other than microphages. I mean,
Everybody knows that.
I just got my phages mixed up.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, goodness.
But you can type it in if it's a medical condition.
That's the thing about tests, though. When you get something wrong like that on a test, you'll remember it for the rest of your life. At least I will. I'll always remember that an earthworm is a saprophage. Dan has no recollection.
I have zero memory. which is another subject for another show.
That's your computer problem, too. Your computer has no memory. Yeah, that's true. That's a problem we had before making the show. So anyway, there you have it. All right. Congratulations, Dan. You can push the applause button.
Woohoo!
All right. Now we're going to get into the good stuff, the serious stuff. Okay, our question answer segment. Remember, if you have a question you want to send us, you can phone us or text us at 908-291-TEEN. That's 908-291-8336. Or you can email us at reachingforthradio@gmail.com. Our question today, this week, is what is revival? We just had our teen revival, which, by the way, is going to be an annual thing here in the city, in New York City. In August, right before school starts. What is revival? So we have revival services. Sometimes churches will have them once a year, twice a year, usually for about a week. And what is that? What is that all about? What does that mean? And why do we have it? And what other questions we can ask about revival?
Yeah.
So Dan, I'm going to throw it over to you since I'm introducing the question and you have Bible open there.
Yeah.
Tell us what is your take on what is revival?
Well, I'd say it's interesting. You mentioned churches will have a revival for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to understand that that is not revival. We have what we call many times, maybe you've heard the phrase revival meetings.
Right.
And I guess we would say those are meetings geared towards creating an atmosphere for revival, that we would desire to have revival. But that doesn't mean, you know, sometimes we talk about it and we say, well, I went to a revival meaning, I went to a revival meeting doesn't mean necessarily revival broke out. And the definition of revival, I mean, there's many different ways of looking at it. But I think, Dan, and I will just give you the basic, kind of a simple definition or way to look at it. When I think of revival, I really think of Psalm 51 is the passage that my mind goes to. And the story here is for David, right? David has just committed a sin against God. And David had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. He killed Uriah the Hittite. He did all of these different things that displeased God. There's no other way of putting it. Sinned. And in doing that, he broke the right relationship with God. And so in Psalm 51, we find, okay, Nathan the prophet comes to David, says, you are the man, you're guilty. And what is David's response? David's response we can kind of find in Psalm 51. It says this. I'm just going to read the first couple of verses. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly for mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. I would say when we talk about revival, quite literally the word means to bring to life again. To revival would be to bring to life. We talk about checking someone's vital signs, kind of has that idea, to see if they're alive. And so when we think about revival, we think about bringing to life again spiritually. So there's something maybe in my life where I have become either like David here, I brought sin into my life where it's hindering my relationship with God, and I need to confess it like he did. And notice, he confessed it. He admitted that he was wrong. He admitted that he had transgressed before God. And notice there in verse 4, too, he made sure that he admitted to God that he had sinned against God. And he dealt with all of that. And later on, he talks about, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. He wants that restored relationship with God. And really, that is one aspect of revival, is dealing with sin in our life, confessing it, and seeking that renewed relationship with God again. But revival can come, a broken relationship with God can come from different things. It can come from sin like this, or it can come from apathy, just not caring, or just being so distracted with this world that you have wandered away from God. Dan, what are your thoughts?
When I think of the word revival, like you said, it means to revive again. That means that one was once alive or I guess had some life in there, and then there was some falling away or falling asleep, some, I don't know, lethargy or you know. But what revival is really for is for the Christian, those that have been given new life, but there has been some sort of I don't know, we call it different terms, and I'm careful with the word backsliding, but some people use that differently. But I use that to say they have gotten off the straight and narrow in a figurative way. They have gotten some sin, like you said, with David. They've somehow lost their sight of their first love, I guess, when it talks about their relationship with Christ. And so they need to be brought back. And so there is sometimes usually the preaching of the Word of God or some instance in a person's life that sort of wakes them back up and says, you know what, I once had a great relationship with God, and I have done some things, or some things have happened, and I've sort of put God aside, or I've been too distracted by things of the world or life situations itself. Now I want to get back on track. And that's what I think of when I think of revival. And we mentioned revival meetings and things, and you know, I traveled with an evangelist for about 3 years, and we held revival meetings and so forth week after week. And I would always say this at a revival meeting we were at, I would tell the people, you know, you can't schedule a revival. You can mark your calendars for a revival meeting and call it that, but revival is not a revival until God's people have woken up. And it's not necessarily a bunch of souls getting saved, although that usually happens as a result of Christians getting right with God. They have a renewed burden for winning the lost to Christ. And so I hope that helps you. I just had one verse here I wanted to share with you. And like we say, the word revival is not in the Word of God, but there are instances where the Bible talks about being revived. And here's just one that comes to mind in Psalm 85:6. It says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" You know, this is something that is sent of God. There are some preachers here in New York that I know they get together every month, and they pray for revival in New York City. And it's a wonderful thing to think about, some men of God getting together to pray for revival, because it is something that it comes from God, I think, and it's God awakening His people, and it's the people's response to God moving in their heart. And so we long to see that. We long for that time to when God will revive us and wake us up, and not only does He do something to wake us up, but we respond to it in a good, in a positive way, in which we're anticipating it. I think that's why we pray for revival, because we want God to move in a special way, and we want to be ready when He's there to move.
You know, it's interesting with revival too, Dan. When we think about it, sometimes we think, well, that's only for old adults that are just sold on the Lord and this and that. But if you go back and look at a lot of the histories, a lot of the revivals that took place in history, young people were there, and very even influential in that revival and the spread of that revival. So even as a teenager, a young adult, seeing a revival in our nation again, in our church, in our family, in our own life, really is where we need to start with it.
Yeah,
that's a very real thing that could take place and should be something that we all desire.
Yeah,
you know, even as a young person.
I hope that we don't only answer this question from a sort of an academic point of view, but I hope you can answer this question one day for yourself and know what revival is, because you will have experienced it in your own life. And it's sort of a question that goes, the answer is from your own experience. And if you've gotten away from God in some way and just sort of diverted down a different path a little bit, you know, let God wake you up and just say, hey, come back this way and do what you used to do, get back into your godly habits and so forth, and just experience a personal revival. All right, this week Dan has a special message for us from the Word of God. So Dan, give it to us.
All right, well, take your Bible if you have it, and if not, just listen up. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, something that I've been burdened about in my life just recently. And something that I've been excited about is prayer. Prayer. And you know what? That goes right along, Dan, with what we were talking about with revival.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to have revival if we're not praying, like you said, for it. But thinking about prayer, when was the last time that you intentionally took time and set it aside just to talk to your Heavenly Father? When was the last time that you intentionally set aside a block of time? You say, maybe I'm so busy, I don't have time for that. Hey, you have 5 minutes somewhere in your schedule probably more if you're honest, maybe if we cut out some things that we don't really need to be doing, to just spend some time in prayer and spend some time talking to God. I was thinking about this as I looked at probably the go-to passage on prayer would be Matthew chapter 6, right there in the middle of Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And he talks about prayer, and he goes through, and listen to this when he talks about prayer. He says this, "And when thou prayest, thou should not be, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee open. For when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth which things ye have need of before ye ask them." And so here he is almost telling us, hey, when we pray, make it a personal matter. Prayer should be a very personal thing. And he says here, it's not like I'm standing out in the public praying to people around me, you know, just speaking it out into the winds just so everyone sees how spiritual I am. No, when I'm praying, as he said here multiple times, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, we're praying to our Heavenly Father. We're having a personal conversation with our Heavenly Father. So pray that way. When you pray to God, pray in a personal way. And that's why even he says here, it's not about vain repetition. You know, think about it, Dan. If we talk to each other just with a vain repetition, you know, every time I see Dan, I say the same exact thing to him. Every time I see my wife, I just, you know, open a book and read to her from a book what I'm supposed to say to her. That's not a very good personal relationship. And so with our Heavenly Father, it's the same thing. Hey, talk to him in a personal way. He is your Heavenly Father if you're saved. And then he says, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I want us to think about this, just a couple simple truths here real quickly out of our prayer. So first of all, our prayer should be a personal matter. Secondly, our prayer should be a place of petition, a place of asking God for help. He says here, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's a sense of dependence upon God. And think about it in your prayer. Are you praying with a dependence upon God, bringing your petitions, your needs to him? Or are we so self-sustaining that we feel as if we have all the answers ourselves? We feel as if we can do it all on our own rather than taking our needs, our burdens to Jesus Christ. You know, people are full of burdens. All of us have our own burdens and struggles that we deal with in our heart. And there is no better place to take those needs than to Jesus Christ, to have your Heavenly Father who loves you and cares for you. And so our prayer should be a place of petition. Our prayer should be a place of pardon. I like what he says here, "and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Our prayer should be a place of pardon, of seeking God's forgiveness, of coming and admitting to God, "I was wrong." Just as David did there in Psalm 51, we just read a moment ago, right? David says, "I'm wrong. I am guilty." Well, when's the last time our prayer sounded like that? Saying, "Lord, I'm wrong. I've been guilty. I'm wrong." Those are hard words to say, and especially to God. And so make sure our prayer is a place of pardon, coming and asking, "Would you forgive me? I've been wrong." And you know what? He always offers forgiveness. Thank the Lord for that. Then he goes on, our prayer should be a place of personal surrender. I like what he says here, "and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." You ever prayed those simple words, "lead us"? Lord, lead me. Lord, would you lead me through my life today? Our prayer should be a place of personal surrender, saying, "Lord, I give my life to you. I trust you to direct and to guide me." And then if we're going to say that, follow through with it and follow him. Don't say, "Lord, lead me," and then when he tries to lead me, I go my own way. Don't do that. Our prayer should be a place of personal surrender to him. And lastly, our prayer should be a place of praise. I like how they end here. He says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And who are you talking about when you say that, Dan? This is awesome. He said it a bunch of times, all right? I'm saying thine is the power, the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. And who am I talking to? He started at the beginning, our Father. which art in heaven. That is who our Heavenly Father is. The one that is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, God, creator of the universe. That's my Father that I can talk to anytime. I can get on my knees and I can go to the Lord in prayer. So pray. Hey, pray. I'd encourage you this week. You know what? The power of our prayer is not in us praying. It's in the one who is listening, and that's the Almighty God of the universe. And I'm so thankful for that. Prayer. Prayer. Are you spending time in prayer? Hey, take time this week and spend it in prayer with your Heavenly Father.
This week for our Missions Minute, Dan's going to conclude the second half of the interview with missionary Stephen Raines, and so we'll listen to that.
What are some of the cultural differences there from Africa, from Kenya, as opposed to the United States? And maybe even kind of off of that, what do they think of America? What do they think of Americans? And what kind of shapes? You mentioned that they do get to watch a lot of TV from the United States. And unfortunately, almost all of that we export in TV is garbage. And so, you know, what do they think about Americans?
Yeah. Well, what they think of in regards to Americans is definitely very positive. They, you know, I think most of the world, probably, as far as I know, you know, seems to look at America as one of the leading economical countries in the world. And that is definitely true. That is has definitely been the case for many years. And many of the Kenyans that I talked to, some of them seem very content here, but then many of them, it's very difficult for most people to find a decent job. And if they do find a decent job, it's usually not for more than a month or two at a time. And so, so a lot of them really have a dream to be able to one day make it to America because they know that there are, you know, many more job opportunities available there. And overall, as far as the receptivity that I have noticed from, you know, just coming from America and just settling into the country here, I find a very warm welcome. The people here are just so incredibly friendly and welcoming. But at the same time, we just you do run into some challenges with that because sometimes they view American people as having just unlimited wealth. And of course, we know that is not the case, but the way that many people live in many of the conditions here, and even some people, you know, that come to the church here in Theka, they often will come and or start to come at least with hopes to be able to get a financial handout. And then after, and we try to be really careful, very selective, and just really follow the Lord's leading with helping people in any way financially, because we definitely want to be careful not to build a church based on people coming to get handouts or things like that. We want to, the Lord to be the center, of course. So, yeah, but overall, they're just very receptive. They're very friendly, warm, welcoming people. If you go knock on their door, they usually will invite you in and cook some chai for you to sip on while you sit and talk. And so, yeah, as far as, you know, coming from America to over here, they seem very receptive and friendly. Of course, there are certain ways you could definitely offend them, and they would close their communication with you. But you do have to be careful. Overall, they are very friendly people.
Do a lot of them speak English, or I know you mentioned Swahili. What would be the primary way of communicating with most people?
Yeah, that is a very good question. A lot of people don't realize this, but you can communicate with almost anybody here around this area in English. And the reason for that primarily is because Kenya was a British colony. And back in 1963, Kenya gained their independence from Britain and just became their own independent country. And but ever back during the time of the British rule here in this country, all of the schools began teaching English. And so for several generations now, English has been taught in the schools all throughout the country pretty much. And so more and more people are learning English, and they they seem to have a very strong desire to want to learn and speak more English. So he, even here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, right in Theka, all of the services, pretty much all of the singing is all in English. And so that has definitely been a plus for us to be able to come over and not have to have interpreters, sure, not to have to have a major language barrier, sure, as we have are settling in here. Yeah.
So that's been a blessing. Swahili, though, would be the other dominant language that would be spoken.
Yes. And Swahili is the primary language here in Kenya.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. Talk to me in Swahili for a minute. Okay. Help me out. What does it sound like?
Well, since we're actually doing this over the FaceTime here, I can actually say Nianzuri sana kukuona. Do you want me to interpret that, or
yes,
did you get
please.
That? Okay. What I just said there was, it is so good to see you. And that's pretty much the extent of my Swahili.
And Jesus loves me. You know that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yesu anapenda.
There we go.
Yeah. So it's not a super difficult language, you know, compared to most other languages of the world. It is, I can open up a book and actually read it, because in high school I had some Spanish training, and the phonetics are very much the same as Spanish. And then also in college took some Greek and also Latin back in high school. And all of those have the same phonetical structure, very similar. Wow. And so it enabled me to be able to read Swahili, so I can at least do that. But I'm just working on the comprehension part and the communication part.
Well, yeah. Amen. Well, very good. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us here. Do you have a website that people could check out to keep up with your ministry?
We sure do. We have a website. The web address is rainstokenya.com. That's R-A-I-N-S, just like the weather, and then the number 2, and then Kenya, K-E-N-Y-A. So rainstokenya.com, and we have a little video on there that kind of talks about our ministry some. And then you can also go on there if you want to subscribe to our email updates that we send out every week. We try to send one of those out weekly with just current praises and prayer requests, and also with some current pictures of different opportunities that God allowed during the week. And so that is definitely a good place to go to keep in touch with us.
Well, great. Well, thanks so much, Stephen, for joining us on the show. That someone out there learned something new. I know I learned a little bit about Kenya. I know through talking to you in the past, just knowing you, that I've always enjoyed talking about the ministry there, and that's exciting. How long have you been there in Kenya so far?
We just under 2 months now.
So just under 2 months.
On this time around.
Yes.
Yeah.
So just getting back into it there. So you pray for them. You want to keep up with them. You can check out their website and find out what's going on. So thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Now we come to the close of our show, and we've had a lot to say. We've had a lot of material here. We'll have to make this a 2-hour thing. We'll have to just figure out.
And everyone's like, no. That's just me.
We got so much stuff going on here that it's just hard to put it all in one show.
Well, I'm excited. I like hearing the different missions minute. I'm excited about getting other input.
Yeah.
From other missionaries.
Yeah, I think we're going to keep that up and add some more missionaries. And I had a chance to talk to a missionary today that was visiting New York and sort of praying about doing a missions work here, and I'm excited about that.
Well, so I know you have an interview coming up soon
you're
going to be doing, and I have one coming up too to be doing soon, so there's going to be lots of different perspectives on here.
Yeah, we're like missionary interview missionaries.
Yeah.
In a way. Well, we want you guys to stay in touch with that, with our missionaries and with us, and keep in contact with us as well. We talked about prayer. That's one form of communication with God, and we want you to stay in communication with us as well.
Don't pray to us.
No, not in that way, but communicate with everybody, But let us be a part of that communication, I guess. And you can call our number at 908-291-8336. That's 908-291-TEEN. Call or text that number. You can also email us at reachingforthradio@gmail.com. And remember that our shows come out every Tuesday. You can subscribe on iTunes or SoundCloud for the podcast version of that. Or you can listen in to Lighthouse Radio at 6 o'clock on Saturdays if you're listening in through the radio. in the Milwaukee area. You can also find some older episodes, view the archives, or listen to the archives on www.reachingforth.net. And don't forget to like us on Reaching Forth Rally and Radio on Facebook. And if you're keeping track at home, this is episode number 8 in our Reaching Forth Radio. And so that about does it for this week. And I guess we'll just conclude with our signature saying, as we always have here. Remember that nothing is more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. Keep living for Him.